Welcome, everyone. We're about to begin Be'ez Hashem Shalom Bayis, Shir number 514. And today we're going to talk about, from Rabbi Avraham Twersky's book on marriage, taking control of your behavior. As rational people, we feel we understand why we do things. When you leave your house in the morning, you know why you're leaving your house. When you go to the car, you turn on the ignition, you know why you're doing that. And when you go to your office or whatever you do at work or you learn, you know why you're doing that. Infants, children may act in a random way sometimes, but mature adults act with the knowledge. They're aware of what they're doing. It may not be thought out fully intelligently or responsibly, but they have an awareness of they know what they're doing. And however, though, as we all know, even though we are in mature adults, there are some parts of us, some aspects in our personality that did not grow up. We're like a child. We're frightened. So he brings down, interesting, Rabbi Twersky, in his book about a fear of dogs. He goes into that. He says a small child is frightened when a playful puppy barks and jumps on him. 30 years later, an intelligent adult, he may even have a PhD, a doctor, whatever, he sees a dog ahead of him as he walks out the doors, and he feels a panic. And if you ask him, of course he knows this little dog couldn't possibly harm him, but the knowledge, the brain, does not prevent him from being frightened. The answer is, why is that so? Is because the knowledge in his adult mind, he's conscious of that. But there's a feeling, which is the experience that he had in childhood that is in his subconscious mind that's not affected by the conscious intellect. And that fear is still there. And an intelligent adult may not have control over his fear of dogs. So we also need to understand that we may not have active control over a lot of things that are in our subconscious mind. When we feel we're in danger, whether we are or we aren't, but if we feel it, then our body reacts to it. Even if logically the brain knows there's no danger here, the body responds to the feeling. It's sort of a built-in reaction when you feel being attacked. It's a survival mode, which is flee or fight. You flee the attacker or you fight him off. That's the fight or flight reaction that people talk about. It's an automatic response. It's triggered by a feeling of danger. There's an increased heart rate, a respiration, blood pressure, and he goes through some physical symptoms that happen that actually changes in your body that helps you either fight or flee better. So a mature adult, in the example he gave, which is frightened by a dog, undergoes these changes. Why? Because his subconscious mind senses the danger. And the subconscious mind is not affected by logic. And so here is an example how this concept could apply in a marriage and how to work through to recognize that and to counteract it. So in other words, we're not helpless, is what he's trying to say. Even if we react this way, we understand why. And then the next time around, we could do a better job at allowing our conscious mind to handle it better. So for example, he gives an example here. The husband and wife agreed to meet at a certain place at a given time. The husband was a little bit delayed and did not show up until 10 minutes later, 10 minutes after the specified time. When he finally meets his wife is a nervous wreck, and angrily his wife shouts at him, "Why did you call me? If you knew you were going to be late, that's what we have cell phones for. Don't you care about how I feel?" And the husband responds with equal anger. "For heaven's sake, I got delayed in traffic for 10 whole minutes. I didn't come late on purpose. Haven't you ever heard of a traffic jam? What's wrong with you? It's not like I kept you waiting for an hour." So he gives this example, and he says what neither of the two of them recognize is they're reacting to subconscious feelings. So the example, his wife, when she was 4, she was separated from her mother in a department store, and the mother eventually found her. But the fright of it and the feeling of abandonment remained in the wife's subconscious and later reawakened when the husband came a few minutes late. Now, logically, the wife should have been aware that something may delay the husband, a traffic jam, whatever it is. If logic would be prevailed, she may have actually picked up the cell phone and called him. But logic did not prevail. Instead, the emotion took over, the emotion that was stored for years in the subconscious mind and now came up, creating this fight or flight response, reaction to perception of danger, which in reality there was no danger, and she lashed out and yelled at him. The husband's response, his angry response back to her, is because his father once humiliated him, shouting at him in front of others. So when his wife yelled at him, his wife's yelling or scolding triggered a painful feeling of humiliation in his subconscious mind. He perceived her angry words as an attack. So fight or flight. And in this case, he fought. So if we're aware, though, how to react in a situation, if we're aware that our subconscious mind may perceive things as danger when they aren't, may perceive things as attacks when they're not attacks, then we could teach ourselves to act with restraint when we feel a surge of emotion. That is really the insight. It's like counting to 10 before responding to being provoked. That's how you break the vicious cycle. You think about it, you prepare for it, and then the next time this rush of emotion comes, you recognize it and you're better at controlling it. So in this case, the traffic jam case we just said, so the husband, let's say seeing the wife's reaction, held back his strong emotions of defensiveness and said as follows, I'm sorry. I assumed you would have figured out that it was a traffic jam, and I didn't think you would worry because I was just a few minutes late. And if you're really worried, all you need to do is call me on my cell and I would have responded. Wife also may respond and say, even if this happened already, I'm sorry I shouted. I guess I could have called, but I panicked. And the next time, if you see you may be late, just do me a favor, please call me. And then they could go into a calmer mood and they won't be fuming at each other anymore. So that's a very important concept, is very often we get upset because of our subconscious or past fears and insecurities, and we need to know how to regulate that and respond accordingly. Now, not every feeling of pain creates an angry response. So he gives an example of that. If let's say you went to a warm climate and you got exposed to the sun and your back now is severely sunburned. Your friend approaches you, gives you a friendly pat on the back, but for you it's stinging pain. Now, if it wouldn't be a sunburn and he hit you in the back, right? A blow in the back that could cause such severe pain could only come from a hostile punch. But over here, because you were sunburned and very sensitive, it was just a pat and that caused a lot of pain. But you did not interpret your friend's action as an attack. You didn't strike out at him. What do? He pats you on the back. Ouch, it hurts. Please be careful. My back's on fire. Every touch hurts. And your friend will naturally say, I'm sorry. So we're aware of the sensitivity of sunburned skin. So that when your friend taps you in the back when you have sunburned skin, you know he wasn't trying to hurt you, and you respond just saying, this hurts, please be careful. But you're not going to punch him in the nose because you realize, you know, you're sunburned, you're sensitive. He just patted you in the back. He wasn't attacking you. So same thing over here, though, it's different. Sunburn, you know you're sunburned, but emotions, we're not aware of the sensitivity of our emotions at times. We don't really think about or know what's going on in our subconscious mind. So we'll react to pain resulting from another person's actions or words as a hostile attack. So like it's sort of like an emotional sunburn, the way he puts it. And if we consider we may have this emotional sunburn, we have a better chance of avoiding an angry knee-jerk response. Again, all this applies, by the way, by learning about this, also to daven for it. We say this many times, to daven to Hashem for it. Say, and you recognize, I always respond in a negative way, or I get overexcited, I get agitated, I get provoked, and you ask Hashem for siyata d'shmaya, chaynil adam das, to help you regulate it, to help you be more self-aware when that challenge comes, so that you'll know better to handle it. and use it right, and it'll even become a positive experience as a result. So there are days, he says, the word is Murphy's Law. It's an expression, it's sort of like a rule that says that anything can go wrong, will go wrong. Sometimes you have these days where, of course, everything's Hashgacha Pratis, but some days a lot of like little things happen where you say, wow, this is like one thing after the other. Nothing seems to go right, then your nerves are frazzled and you're edgy. And sometimes when this happens, then at some point, even the small thing that your wife may say or your husband may say will be like the straw that broke the camel's back and you snap. In reality, what got you to snap was only a small little thing, but it's accumulation of different other things that were bothering you or things that went on during the day. So, and then we regret our behavior, but we said already the sharp, hurtful words to our husband or our wife. So therefore, it's important to really work on ourselves, that when we feel edgy, when we feel upset, try to be quiet. You can even tell your spouse, your husband or wife, right now I'm wound up, I'm a little upset, or I'm overtired, it'll pass, just hang in with me. And by the same token, if you see that your spouse is very edgy, you could offer, I'm sorry you feel that way, is there anything I could do to help? And if your wife or husband says, no, please go away, leave me alone, well, I need to be left alone, don't become offended. Don't become offended, because it was never intended to be a rejection. Vitorsky quotes his mother. In Pirkei Avos, she said, when it says, Al taden es chaveroi ad shetegia lemekaymai, don't judge a fellow Jew unless you reach his place. Vitorsky said his mother used to refer this to the Heilige Al taden. That's an interesting vart. A Heilige Al taden. You know, you have the Heilige Matzah, the Heilige Yom Kippur, the holy meaning. The holy Matzah, the holy Yom Kippur, the holy Tefillin. The holy Al taden is a fascinating concept. Really, what she's doing brilliantly is equating a holy teaching of Bein Adam L'Chaveroi as holy. And he says that she considered this especially holy teaching because it can avoid so many unjustified reactions and so many distorted reactions. This living by Hillel's principle of Al taden es chaveircha ad shetegia lemekaymai, don't judge your fellow until you reach this place, could help prevent a loss of control of your emotions. And that's a very important thing to do. Al taden es chaveircha ad shetegia lemekaymai, and I remember, I think it was one of the shiurim from Rabbi Y.Y. Jacobson, I think B'Shem the Sfas Emes, but I'm not sure. So he added a nice, beautiful parish here. It says, don't judge your fellow until you reach this place. And then he added the lines, you will never reach his place. Meaning you can never actually be in someone else's shoes. So you really never have a right to judge him. Because who knows what's going through their minds and what their struggles are. But that's a Heilige Al taden, you know, it's a holy concept. Bein Adam L'Chaveroi is holy. Every interaction with a husband and wife is holy. So the idea being is that even though we don't have full control of our subconscious mind, we do have control over our behavior. That's easier for us to control. And our behavior is, part of it is using the thinking process of recognizing that we could react based on subconscious trauma from the past or fears or insecurities. And then when it actually happens, we're prepared. And we know, normally I'm going to feel a rush of emotion, I'm going to be upset. But you'll know how to control yourself when you are upset. And when you do that and the storm passes, it brings about a stronger, more beautiful love and unity between the two of them. Bracha v'atzlacha.